You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's time to raise your game. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Sharmini Hansen, life coach and owner of Cafe One. And she's been sharing lessons learned from the kitchen these past few weeks. And this week, we're talking about a marketing initiative that was born out of a genuine need. And that is the Community Kitchen, a feeding program for neighborhood kids. So what exactly is the Community Kitchen and why was it started?
Where we are located, where Cafe One's located, we're in an office block, and surrounding our office blocks are low-cost flats. So we have a lot of neighborhood kids coming and popping into our doors when we started, and asking, what do we serve, can they come and eat? And generally, if you look at this, they're really scruffy, and they probably could do with a good meal. And I realized we're running a business. I would love to have fed them for free. However, it would not be a good business decision. So I go like, what can I do that I could give them what they want, a hot meal, and at the same time the cafe doesn't lose out? So I developed the community kitchen concept where people can donate and contribute for a kid's meal. So for 10 ringgit, a kid gets a main course, you get desserts, they get a drink, fruits as well. So we launched that in January, and we enrolled the neighborhood children through the schools. For me, it was more than just a feeding program. I like to work with young minds, and then I think the work that I do about empowering and working about, exciting, inspiring the kids to be focused on their goals, gave me an opportunity 2 hours or 3 hours a week, apart from a meal, to talk to them, to spend time with them. Remember that Cafe One was supposed to be a community center to uplift the whole community. And I thought, perfect win-win. Everybody wins. So we started out in January, and then we've been doing it every week. And it was also a good marketing and a relationship building activity with the community. Mm. And what best way for people to know that there's a cafe around and we're doing some good in the community. So I thought it was a fabulous idea, yeah.
So with the kids, they're not exactly poor kids. They do have meals, but there is a need.
Yeah. We're talking about urban, working, poor families. Yeah, I mean, this is a new phenomenon. I mean, not a new, but a new awareness about urban working poor families. The parents are, there's usually one parent that's working, a mother staying home. They usually have got many siblings, and they live in a very small living area. So family income is very low. And these kids, sometimes I sit down with them. I have sat down with them and spoke to them and asked them, have you eaten? And they go like, no. I said, when was your last meal? What did you have for lunch? They had fried potatoes for lunch. And I said, what was for breakfast? Oh, we didn't have breakfast. I don't have money for school. Mm. And there are a few kids that actually say dinner is not a meal in their family.
Okay.
They don't have dinner.
Right.
So it's kind of sad.
Okay, because this is happening right in the city.
That's right.
In KL. And how old are these kids?
Primary school. From Standard 2 to Standard 6.
All right. And how did this evolve into partnerships with Reach.org and Garden International School?
Yeah, I'm so blessed. I have such amazing supporters. So a girlfriend of mine, Maple K, was such an active supporter of Cafe. And she saw the kids and she saw what I was doing. And she said, Sharmini, we need to do more for these kids, How about we put them into a learning program as well? Not just feed them, but they go and learn something. And I was really excited because as much as I was creating activities and learning activities for the children, I knew they were getting bored seeing my face every week. So I had to bring variety in. And she said, we could work with Garden International School because they were also looking to activate their community service work, where the teachers and the children from the Garden International School and the students from the Garden International School volunteer their time to teach our local kids English. And I thought that was a perfect idea. And Reach would support part of the meal and take care of the bus. Because what happens is that every Thursday, the kids come from school straight to the cafe. They have a little sandwich and a drink. And then they hop on a school bus and they go to Garden International School. From between 2:30 to 3:30, the teachers and the volunteers at the school teach them English. And it's an amazing lesson. I mean, I sit in the lessons and I'm so amazed. I just learn from the teachers as much as these kids are learning, you know. And then they come back to the cafe and they have, you know, another meal before they leave for the day.
So how many kids do you
I have now? About a busload, about 40 kids.
About 40 kids. All right. And what about the association with Reach.org?
Well, they support the whole activity.
Right.
Yeah. They, I organize it. And it's part, Reach.org is an organization that feeds the homeless. And like any program that's involved in welfare, they want to teach and they want to educate as well. Yeah, because you can't feed people all the time. So this is part of their education program.
So it's teach a person to fish and not to give fish.
Yes, that's
so
right.
That philosophy.
Yeah.
So you don't, you see this as part of a CSR program and not, you don't view Community Kitchen as part of business per se.
No, it's not, we're not losing, but at the same time, it is largely for a community. It's largely a CSR program where my team is actively actively participates in the program, and we've brought in partners. So now there's Reach, and then there's this garden. It's just amazing how things just grow.
Okay, and what is the Sisters Network MAD and its connection with My Kase Foundation? Is it got to do with the Community Kitchen?
No, it's very different. However, it is very much in alignment with the concept of Community Cafe, which is uplifting the underserved individuals in the community. So My Kase Foundation runs a welfare program where they feed poor families using the My Card. So there's no money transacted, and the families get their food at the local grocery store. So on the lower ground floor of Cafe One, we have a supermarket. So My Kase, all the directors, when they come and enroll the families, they come to the cafe, you know, they hook up their laptop and they said, you know, we're going to sign up these families. So we got into talking with them, and I've known them from before as well, that these women largely receive, like, food assistance. Same thing, you can't always feed them forever. You got to teach them how to fish.
Right. Okay.
So I go like, I've got success stories here. I've seen how my team have grown with coaching and supervision. So, and I already run a support network, Sisters Network. I've been running it for 3 years. So I go, let's extend Sisters Network and make a difference. That's what MAD is all about. Yeah. And make a difference to the community and coach members of the My Kase participants to be financially independent.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm speaking to Sharmini Hansen, life coach and owner of Cafe One, and we'll speak about marketing of the Community Kitchen in Race Your Game in just a moment. BFM 89.9. I'm here with Sharmini Hansen, life coach and Cafe One owner in Race Your Game, and we're talking about the Community Kitchen program. So do you actively market the Community Kitchen?
Well, we're very proactive in enrolling students. Actually, Community Kitchen, when the school term opens in September, when the garden school term opens in September, we will attempt to have to include adult literacy programs. Because from coaching the women, I realized there's a need to learn English, to even learn how to read and write. So I spoke to Garden and the community service director, Andy Kendrick, and I said, could you open your classes to adults? And he says, well, we have the resources. I don't see why not. So come September, we'll see.
Right.
And we hope to include adults in the literacy program. And the marketing is on a community level, word of mouth. The kids bring other kids and it spreads around. and I have a list at the cafe where kids can proactively take the forms, get their parents' approval, and they can sign up. Because I believe you have to take responsibility, and I want those kids to come on their own. Because that's initiative. And I have a Facebook page. There's a Cafe One Facebook page. And it's just building through my network, you know, like the radio show. People want to contribute. The last time I did a radio show about the community kitchen, I had people coming up to the cafe and participating and watching and contribute to the kitchen. So this is how I market. This is how I share the good news. Yeah.
All right. And also, with the kids, you know, having run this, the community kitchen, were there challenges in terms of how the kids behaved and how did you overcome them?
There are always challenges. Yeah. And you're talking with a group of children who are not supervised. They come from school and they are running wild around and they get into trouble. However, that's the beauty of the program, to get them to be grounded, to get them to learn etiquette at the table, you know, not to clink and clank your cutlery and discipline and put your plates and your glasses away and make sure everything is clean as after you've eaten. So these are the things that they're small, but they make a difference.
Mm.
And when we first started going to garden, they were running amok. You know, no order. And then I tell them, you know, love, respect, honesty, and gratitude. I said, when you respect, when you're grateful for this opportunity, then you treat everything with respect and everyone with respect. And first you must have respect for yourself. And, you know, you are from Central, you know. You have to be proud that you are from Central and that you have adab, you know, you have manners and you have pride being who you are, you know. Just because you are not so, you know, rich doesn't mean you don't have manners.
Right.
So now they line up and they walk to their classes, you know, and the big breakthrough is in their confidence in speaking. My first student, I started in January, my first student, Daniel, from E's and D's, you know, and he just recently in the last semester exam got an A, you know, and it's the first A he's ever got for English. And I go like, yes, breakthrough. Now he's hit the he set the bar. Now everyone can rise up. So right. I tell the kids, you know, he's got an A now. It's time for all of you to get an A. If Daniel can, you can too.
Right.
And slowly, their grades are improving, not only in English, but their grades are generally improving, you know, from failing. They're now getting passes and they're getting C's and they're talking about B's, which is phenomenal, you know. Mm. Just 1 hour every week, you know. The change that can happen. So that gives me confidence. Mm-hmm. And really, I want, when we start in September, Garden is so gracious, it's given us 2 days now.
Right.
Now we've only had, so far we've had 1 day, it's going to increase to 2 days. And my goal is to actually have activities for the kids. I'm working actually with partners in the building to actually have the learning program for the children so that 5 days a week they have an after-school program where they learn and grow.
It just goes to show that if you invest in people's lives, you know, even just that little bit, it just makes a huge difference.
That's right. That's what I think, that's what I advocate when corporations talk about CSR program. You know, yes, you give checks and money and that's needed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's easier.
However, when you want to uplift the poor, you know, even in orphanages, because I've worked with orphanages, it is your time and your effort that really makes a difference.
Okay, how do you manage your time in, because you're running a business as well, and not apart from the cafe and then your coaching business. So how do you manage your time and say what is important and what should I, you know, make time for?
Well, Thursdays are my community service days. In the morning, I have my undergraduates. They come all the way from Utah, and I coach them to coach two orphanages in the Ipoh area. And that reaches out to like 50 kids. And in the afternoon, I have my community kitchen. So, you see, business is about balance. And for me, balance is not just my life, but also my life contributing to others. And that's a very, very important part of my life. And it brings so much to me that I don't know what else could, you know. Mm. So for me, it's very focused. Making a difference helps me grow as a person. The more I teach, the more I coach, the more I grow as a coach myself. And dealing with the biggest challenge or the greatest challenge or the ones that people say are most challenging for me now is effortless. I don't see any challenge in it. And it's just commitment and focus.
Right.
Knowing my growth is important. What helps me grow? Yes, I work. I make money. And then I'm a single parent too. I've got my two kids. I take care of them. I run my mommy duties, get them to school and pick them up from school. And in between, I have my appointments. And then I serve the community. Oh. And then I do my walks in the morning and exercise, you know. This is what I wanted to experience when I started being a coach. I really wanted to have that balance. And you can, if you so choose, you know.
Okay, and even running your Cafe One restaurant cafe, how do you, with these people that you've actually hired, do you, apart from coaching them, do you also, is it also important that they learn business skills like basic IT and accounting? Is that something that you also provide to them?
Naturally, they learn, because when you go into the kitchen, when the first thing I enroll my team into the kitchen, I say you've got to be profitable, and I told them how to be profitable. You use less and you waste less, yeah. And then all our food is portioned, and there's a costing for it, and they know what it is. I tell you what, I've worked in many kitchens, and I tell you what, my kitchen is the most efficient kitchen. There is hardly any wastage. Once you drum it into these women, they get it. They run this kitchen, no wastage, lah. I'm so amazed, you know. So it's important. That's like accounting. That's learning how to create profit and to calculate and to work out the profit loss. Now, ICT skills, I have a cashier system there. You know, my front of house, they use that.
Point of sale.
Yeah, point of sale, yes. And with the kids, that's why the community kitchen and the MAD with the women, coaching the women and the children, I'm working with a partner in Manara Central. I'm working actually with Scully and getting them, enrolling them to be my partner to teach these kids and these women basic ICT skills.
Mm.
Yeah, we're working that out. So as part of their CSR program, they contribute to the children and to the women and enrich them that way. And I think it's very, very important. It's very, very vital that we learn the basic technology tools.
All right, to run a business as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good that you run for your values of love and all that, but also I guess it's still running a business and you do need your skills.
Yes, you do have to, definitely.
You know, you talk a lot about the values that you run your business from. And one of the things is, at the same time, do you also teach them to be street smart in that sense and not to be taken for a ride?
They're very street smart, naturally. My kids are. And I just want to, you're talking about street smart, I just want to point out one of my servers. There was a guest in the cafe when I came in, and he was just lounging around, and then, you know, my server was saying, oh, he's such a hard story. He got robbed in the taxi, and, you know, he's from the overseas, and he's come for a holiday, he's got nothing. And the story sounds so iffy for me.
Mm.
And I go like, I said, well, you know, be kind and nice, buy him lunch or whatever, but, you know, watch out. I said, you know, just the story does just sound iffy. And next day I come back and says, Coach, you're right. I said, what happened? Yeah, I lost my phone. I go like, what? You know, and he says, yeah, he said he wanted to call his girlfriend, and then I never saw him, and then I saw my phone again. And then I worked with him. I said, you see, it's not about trusting people. It's about trusting that the world would be honest as you are honest and giving. And I go like, how come you're not believing that people are honest? Because if in your reality you have a crook coming up, then somewhere in your belief system you believe that you deserve to be around crooks or crooks come into your life. Because some people see crooks and shoddy business people in their lives a lot, and some people don't.
Mm.
Why is that? It's because of what you're focusing on.
Right.
You know, and what you're focusing on and what you're believing, your belief
right.
system. For me, I always believe people around me are just trustworthy. Yeah.
And that's what you attract.
And that's what I attract. And I can smell the ones who are not. You know, and I can tell you. Like I told him, I said, it just doesn't, you know,
right.
I don't know if you can say this around, but I'm not a sucker for everyone, you know. Because I know who I am and what I am, so I can tell and
right.
I can feel it. And for him is to develop that street smart. And though he had a very challenging childhood and comes from real hard part of Central, but still that belief system is there. I've got to give, but at the same time, yes, make sure you're not taken for a ride.
Yeah, because we do hear stories of some people who is like constantly being taken for a ride.
Yes. You know, a lot of people feel very bad when they see beggars and when they see people asking for donations and stuff like that. The thing is, when they come to me, I go like, I already give my time. I already donate my time, you know. And I ask those who want to give that 10 or 5 ringgit, can you translate that 5, 10 ringgit to a few minutes of your time and working with someone, and that would make far greater difference to the individual that you want to reach out to.
All right. And I understand that you're conducting a program, I Am My Own Life Coach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I Am My Own Life Coach. Being a life coach, I realize a lot of these tools help us to grow. If we put it into our lives and we practice it, helps us to grow. So I am my own life coach. Everyone talks, when they hear me talk, they go like, sounds so good, you know, but can it be done? Yes, of course it can be done. I learned all this. I wasn't this way all my life. I didn't think this way, didn't live this way. I learned to be this way. So I Am My Own Life Coach is basically sharing all these tools with people, the basic tools on how to coach yourself. And what's unique about this program is you can then graduate. When you graduate from the program, you can partake in coaching the children or the women. So you put, when you learn something and you put into practice, you get it better.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You actually assimilate all that knowledge. So it's, I always believe it's not just about the training, but you need to support people through the change. And this is the program that does that. Yeah.
Okay, so that's happening in August?
Yes, that's right, 7th and 8th of August.
And of course, details can be found on your website.
That's right, sharmanihenson.com, and they can sign up for it as well.
I've been speaking to Sharmini Henson, Life Coach and Cafe One owner in Raise Your Game.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.